Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Dan Dimitay, and I'm joined here in studio with my brother in Christ, Patrick Rice.
That's me.
How are you doing, Patrick?
So good.
You know, every single time we film this show and we have guests
we're
on...
We're not filming it.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
recording it.
That's what you do in radio, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was on a reality TV show for for a long time.
Can I have your autograph?
Filmed, so that word's just like, yeah, no, you cannot.
That's, sign my arm.
So when we record, we always say that this is the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Well, we've got on our show today an author by the name of John Wood. He's an incredible missionary for the Lord, and he actually wrote a book that's almost the same title of our show. His name, the name of the book is Ordinary Lives, Extraordinary Mission. And so we're really excited to have Dr. John Wood with us today. He's amazing. I want all of our listeners to stay tuned for this hour, because what John is doing is what all of you are called to do. John has a full-time job in the work world. He's an eye doctor, and yet he's extremely active in the mission of the church. And God has placed a word, a message on his heart, and it's been like this burning fire that he just had to get out to the world, right? So he was just a normal lay person working as an eye doctor, and as he prayed, the Lord filled him with words, and it was this like fire welling up within him that he just said, I have to get this message out. And he got the message out, Patrick, and guess what happened?
What happened to him?
He sold 200,000 copies of his book. Is that
that's
insane?
That's a lot more than I've ever sold.
that's yeah.
Wow.
So Patrick, when God places a message on your heart, if you keep it in, we may not ever get the work that God wants to do. It may never be done. So before we dive into our show, we're going to open a prayer. Patrick, can you open us up?
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, I praise you for taking John Wood and making him wood in the fire of your furnace, Lord. I thank you for using him to ignite fires. And Lord, I pray that everyone that hears this show would come to acknowledge that they have fuel, that they are God's fuel to light fires, to be lit on fire and to let it spread without control, without anything but trust in what you're doing. In Jesus' name.
Oh, Lord, we're just so blessed to be in your presence today. We pray that you would make us great missionaries. I pray that we would not be Catholics who simply live our faith inside church walls, but we would live our faith in the world, Lord. I pray for Catholic businessmen and women that they would live their faith in the business world. I pray for teachers, artists, lawyers, doctors, everyone, Lord, that we would be Catholics in the world, that we would rejuvenate culture, the culture would be resurrected again, the culture would be Christian again, Lord. I pray that you would empower us. And Lord, I pray that you would fill us with a message today, that you would give us a word on our heart that you want us to share, maybe a word that you want us to share with a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, our employer, our boss. Lord, just fill us with your words. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray all this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hey, Patrick, so here's the cool thing. I was like 19 years old when I was reading scripture one day. That wasn't the first time I ever read the Bible, but...
you're a Catholic.
but honestly, when I started reading scripture, I got to the book of Jonah, and I was reading about the life of Jonah. And as I read this story of Jonah's life, I was like, how did I not realize this man's testimony? How did I not realize the extraordinary life that he had? And, you know, you grow up watching stories about Noah's Ark and watching stories about Jonah and the whale. And, like, I wonder if these childhood stories that we tell our children actually paint the picture of who that person was, like, and how amazing that person was. I just want to tell the story of Jonah right now.
Are you going to? So what you're saying is that we're fed a G-rated scripture?
Yeah,
as children,
exactly,
and it's not really a G-rated book.
It's not a G-rated book. It, like, and I love, like,
I think it's R-rated.
All of our Bible stories are like, oh, this Bible story has an animal in it. Let's tell this one to our children, right? And like, but I want to focus on Jonah. I don't care about the whale. What did Jonah do, and what didn't he do, right? So we're gather round, listeners. We're gonna have story time right now. Are you ready for story time, Patrick?
Yes.
Okay. So Patrick and I are gonna tell
children
you the tales
beware.
Of Jonah. This could be G. We're not. Yeah. Okay. So. Jonah receives a message from the Lord, and he's ordered by the Lord to do what? To go to Nineveh.
Preach.
And to preach the gospel and to tell them to repent, because if they didn't repent, that God was going to destroy Nineveh, right? That they were so far off. And what was Nineveh's initial response? He was scared.
Yeah.
He was freaked out.
No, you mean Jonah's response.
Oh, who did I say?
You said Nineveh's response.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, he was going to go to Nineveh. Jonah's initial response was that he was scared. And so what he does is instead of going to Nineveh, he goes the opposite direction. He flees God's word, right? That God proclaimed a word in his heart, a message to be shared, and he went the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. And as the tale goes, of course, he's on the ship going away from Nineveh. The ship hits a huge storm. He's thrown off, and he gets swallowed up by this large fish. And as he repents in the fish's mouth, he's in the mouth for the belly for 3 days. And as he repents, he's delivered, if you will, mm-hmm. from the fish's mouth and brought to Nineveh.
Yeah.
And so he goes to Nineveh, and he starts proclaiming this call to repentance. And what happens when he starts proclaiming the call?
Dude, they get convicted.
They
hear the word.
Yeah.
And the king.
The king,
he's like, oh my gosh, sackcloth and ashes for everybody.
Which is amazing. So imagine this, all right? Imagine you get a message from the Lord, and then you go and you proclaim it. And the king himself of this country, right, of this kingdom, he's convicted that he has to repent. And he changes his heart, and he goes into sackcloth and ashes, like you said, mm-hmm. and all of the people follow him. Jonah saved Nineveh.
Yep.
Right? Nineveh was going to be destroyed by the Lord because of their sinful ways, and Jonah saved them. And
yeah. Even though he didn't want to.
Even though he didn't want to.
Because Ninevites were bad dudes that were oppressing Israel.
Yeah. So Ninevites weren't the people of God, right? They weren't God's chosen people. They weren't Catholics.
Right.
Right? And Jonah was called to them.
They weren't even Protestants.
They weren't even Protestants. People, they were outside. And he goes to them. And he proclaims God's message, and they're saved. And I wonder how many of God's people have a message that have been given to them by the Lord, and they haven't saved the areas that the Lord
called
them
to. Well, I know for a fact that they have. Because if we were doing what God was telling us to do, then there wouldn't be all the problems going on in the world, because evil triumphs when good men do nothing, right?
Yeah.
And like our commission, Dan, is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And like the commission that we have as Christians is not just to get to heaven. Jesus says to bring heaven to earth. He wants earth to look like heaven, and he has a solution for every problem. He has a solution in heaven that he wants to release, and he's chosen people to do that.
He's chosen people, and he's chosen his lay people.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's chosen like all the ordained and the religious to do that. He's chosen the lay people to bring the message of the gospel into the workforce, right? Into the world.
Everywhere. Everywhere where there's disorder, everywhere where there's sickness, disease, death, and all the things that come from sin, God has a solution. And he's chosen the church, us, his body, to come and bring that forth. But if we hold it in, then the salvation is not going to come like it came to Nineveh. The destruction is going to come, right? And so the first thing I think that we need to do is get beyond a culture of criticism where we sit back on our sofas, on our social media channels, and start critiquing all the bad stuff out there. Because if you do that, then you think that you're doing your job.
And actually, kind of, Jonah was doing that, right?
Yep.
He saw all the problems with Nineveh.
I hate the Ninevites.
He knew them.
So evil.
They're so evil. But God said, hey, I don't want you to critique them. I don't want you to comment on the problems.
Right.
I want you to go in and cause the solution. Bring the solution.
If we focus on the problem, we empower the problem. But if we focus on God who gives us solutions, then he'll reveal them to us and give, which just comes in a word, mm-hmm. right? Like God gave the solution through the word he gave to Jonah. And so like it really is coming into agreement with the mind of Christ who has the solution. And then once we become open and say, yes, God, like send me, then he gives us the word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about the word, Dan.
Well, what I love about Jonah is he receives the word from the Lord, mm-hmm. right? So it wasn't like he was looking at the political spectrum of Israel and Nineveh and said, hey, we need to go call Nineveh to repent. Like this was God. He was in union with the Father in prayer, and the Father revealed his word to Jonah, and he gave him his mission, right? So when we pray, we don't just pray to be edified ourselves. We pray to receive the word of the Lord, the message that God has for his people, and then in prayer, we discover our mission. And but the key is if we pray and we don't follow through on that mission, like if we run away with it, like, right, Jonah ran in the opposite direction. If we run away, then the mission that God's given us falls. It fails.
All I'm going to say is if you run away, don't go swimming.
Write that
Watch
down.
Out.
Twitter that. Like, dude, tweet that out today. So we want to, I want to look at the life of Jonah and just pull out this idea that he was placed in front of the king and the king repented. And when God gives us a message and we proclaim that message, oftentimes the people of influence can receive that message and can make the difference. So I think sometimes we as lay Catholics, we say, well, I can't make that big of a difference at work because I'm not the boss, right? Or corporate is so, like, there's so much bureaucracy here. I'm just one person. What can I do? Well, Jonah had that same mentality. He was just one person. But when Jonah brought the message that God had given him to Nineveh, this message of repentance, the king heard it. The person of influence heard it, and he made the change. Right. And so God may be giving you a message and he may want your boss, your employer, to hear that message so that your employer can be converted and make the lasting change in your place of influence. So just this isn't a game that we play that's just about me. Right. What's St. Paul say that our war isn't against
flesh and blood.
Flesh and blood. It's against principalities.
Powers. Right? So, evil spirits in the heavens, Dan.
So that's what we're dealing with, and that's what God's dealing with, and he understands that. So don't treat this war like it's against flesh and blood. I want to, there's another prophet, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah in Jeremiah 20, it says this. So Jeremiah was proclaiming the message the Lord gave him. And did it turn out all that well for Jeremiah?
No.
So it turned out pretty good for Jonah. Like, in the end, like, Jonah's like, hey, I converted a whole country. This is pretty awesome, right?
Yes.
But Jeremiah, he was getting persecuted hardcore. And this is, I love this prayer of his. He says this, "You duped me, O Lord, and I allowed myself to be duped." Have you ever been duped by the Lord, Patrick?
Absolutely.
What's a time that you've been duped by the Lord?
I don't know, like, sometimes he's giving me messages to preach, right? And they don't go the way that I think they're supposed to go. And it's happened a few times in the youth minister. But, like, God ends up showing up in a big way, but it can kind of get you in a little trouble. Have you ever had that happen, too?
Yeah, actually, just a few weeks ago, I was praying hardcore into a talk I was given to a bunch of married couples, right? And the Lord placed a very clear message on my heart, and it was really radical, much more bold. And I preach, like, boldness often, but this was, the Lord was wanting me to go even deeper. And
you don't preach boldness, you are boldness.
Thanks, that's
yeah.
fun.
Keep going.
But so I brought this really bold message, and I just thought it tanked. Like, I was like, man, God, I thought you told me to preach this, and, like, it didn't go anywhere. And, like, the audience, I didn't feel like they were receiving it well, right? But the priest responded a few weeks later and just told me some movement that happened that was totally unseen to me when I proclaimed the message, but this movement that had happened in his congregation as a result. And so Jeremiah was preaching, and the people weren't responding really the way that he wanted, and he was being persecuted hardcore. So he says, "You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. You were too strong for me, and you triumphed. All the day I am an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I must cry out. Violence and outrage is my message. The word of the Lord has brought me reproach all day long. I say to myself, I will not mention him. I will not speak his name anymore. But then it comes up like a fire burning inside my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it." So this prayer is so beautiful of Jeremiah, right? That he's being persecuted. He's brought a call of repentance. He's brought the powerful message that God had called him to give to the world. He was being laughed at and scorned all the days long, and he didn't want to keep doing it. But he says, "But the word of the Lord comes up in me like a fire and imprisoned in my bones, and I can't help but let it go out." And that's what it means to be a prophet of the Lord.
Whoa.
Right? Every single one of us were baptized priest, prophet, and king. You were anointed as a child of God at your baptism to be a prophet. And if the word of the Lord is not imprisoned in your bones and is not a burning fire within you, chances are God wants to do more in your prayer life. He wants more intimacy with you. That when we go to pray, what God does is he speaks a word and it wells up inside of us. It burns inside of us. Just like Jeremiah, where he's like, man, God, I don't want to preach this word anymore. Like, I'm getting laughed at. I'm getting like mocked and ridiculed. I'm rejected. But this is burning inside of me so boldly that if I don't share it, I can't live that kind of a life.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that comes to mind is, you know, have you been in an opportunity with prayer ministry and you're just like, someone's like, hey, can you pray for me? And then all of a sudden you're just saying a little prayer and then you start to hear the Lord and then it's something weird that you that you feel like he's saying about the person.
Yeah.
And I had this core team member and we were doing prayer ministry night at the youth group and she was totally new to like prayer ministry. And then as she was praying for this girl in her small group, she ended up like giving her this word that like completely transformed this girl's life. And then she came and talked to me and she said, I felt like when I felt this thing I was supposed to say and I didn't want to say it. And then I started to feel like I was about to throw up unless I said it.
Mm.
And then I said it and then this peace came on.
Wow.
Like that's like a visceral example of the power of the word of God living within us.
I want to take this to the workplace in that same image, right?
Do it.
Imagine you're sitting at the lunch table, and I know this has happened to so many of our listeners. You're sitting at the lunch table and the conversation is perverse or the conversation is just totally jaded, right? And there's something inside of you that makes you want to throw up at that moment because you know that this is not truth, beauty, and goodness that's being discussed. The question is, do you throw up? Do you speak the word that's inside of you? Or do you cower back in fear like Jonah? Do we run away from the message the Lord's placing in our heart? Or do we allow that message to be spoken, right? And that's your call. That's our call as lay people. See, priests, they minister the message of the Lord. They minister the word of God to the faithful. The lay congregation, we receive the message of the Lord from our priest and from our prayer and from scripture and church tradition, and we minister that word in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's so important. And God is placing a message on your heart every day where you see things, you see people, you see interactions, and we're called to proclaim God's word, to
that's
allow
right.
that word to be spoken forth. And that's when the nation gets changed. The nation is not going to be changed by having incredible parish priests. It's incredible parish priests will empower us to do our job so that we change the nation like Jonah did, right? So that we have that fire inside of us like Jeremiah. So I just want to pray right now for our listeners that you would receive fire inside your belly right now, Lord. I pray that this show, over the course of the next half hour, Lord, that you would speak a new message. You would convict our listeners' hearts with the message you want them to preach in their world, in their neighborhood, in their workplace. What is the word that you're placing in their minds and their hearts? What is that message that you've been encouraging them to speak? And Lord, I pray that you give them the boldness of the prophets, that they would have the boldness of Jeremiah, the boldness of Ezekiel, the boldness of Isaiah, that they would preach your message no matter what the cost, Lord. I pray that they wouldn't live for popularity, but that they would live for the possession of the kingdom in their place, that you would take hold of their workplace. You would take hold of their community. You would take hold of their friendships and their families, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, take new territories for you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, take hold. Amen.
So amen.
We're going to invite...
Good prayer.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I want it to happen, Patrick.
What?
I want it to happen. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, right now, guys, Patrick's wearing a t-shirt. I'm looking at him here in the studio, and it says, set a fire in my soul. And it has just, like, fire all over the shirt.
Yeah.
Patrick, what if we were all so... Like, what if there really was a fire in our soul?
This t-shirt's a prophetic symbol of my life, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're supposed to be on fire. And like, yeah, that's it. And there's a fire that's supposed to go to Nineveh. And I think God has a Nineveh, a mission field for everybody that he's mm-hmm. calling them to. And it's only through that spirit of wisdom and revelation that we can be open to that. And I think the first thing too is like, where is your heart's desire? So can I pray, Dan, before we go to a break and bring Dr. Wood on? Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. You said that where two or three are gathered, you will be there too. So, Father, I pray that you would just give a spirit of wisdom and revelation to our listeners right now, that they would that you would show them where their Nineveh is, where you're calling them to go mm-hmm. in this season. And we pray for the presence of God. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And when we come back on the flip side, we'll have Dr. John Wood being interviewed. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Right now, we have Patrick Rice in the studio, and we're joined with Dr. John Wood. This man is a missionary for the Lord who is working in the world, but also for the Lord, right? And just such a powerful thing. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Dan and Patrick. It's awesome to be on the show with you guys.
It's so good to have you, John. So you're a father, and you're married. How many children do you have?
I have four kids, ages 12, 10, 8, and 5. So, yeah, they keep me busy.
Praise the Lord. And then your full-time work is you're an eye doctor, correct?
Yes, I'm a mobile eye doctor, so I travel to nursing homes, and I do eye care in nursing home kind of settings. So, yeah, that's my
an
day
itinerant,
job.
an itinerant eye doctor.
Amen.
/ prophet. Keep going.
St. Dominic would be proud. Awesome. Praise the Lord. So, John, you know, you were a full-time eye doctor, and I guess over the course of a few years, the Lord started placing a message in your heart, right? And it started burning up inside, and it just had to be explode out like Jeremiah, right? Can you share a little bit just what was that like? What was the process where the Lord, what was that process like where, you know, the Lord started placing this message inside of you?
Well, you know, I think you guys really hit the nail on the head with the two stories you shared about Jonah and Jeremiah. I mean, that was really me. I'm a very strong introvert. I moved to this area, just had people from our parish kind of inviting us to try to dream up new ministries, and I very reluctantly agreed to, you know, start doing a little bit of speaking in my own parish and just sharing my faith. I mean, I've always loved my Catholic faith, but I just got to the point when I got through college, started learning more and more about it, and I fell in love with my faith. And, I prayed this prayer. I'm like, please, God, just I'll do whatever you want. Just don't make me stand up in front of people and talk, you know. And you know how the Lord works. I just started getting these opportunities, these invitations, like, all right, I'll try it. And, you know, as things progressed, that fire just started to well up inside, and I just had this burning desire to share my faith. I love Catholicism. I love the Catholic faith, but I just feel like it's like a sleeping giant. Like, people are going through motions. They're not really on fire for their faith. And I wanted to kind of wake people up. I wanted them to love their faith. And so, I began to get more and more speaking opportunities, but, I felt that frustration like Jeremiah. I'd go to do a talk and, you know, 5 people would show up or 10 people show up. And this would go on for, you know, several years to the point where I don't know how many times I just wanted to quit. I'm like, you know what, Lord, this is it. It's not me. It's not working. Nobody cares. And, at that point when every time I try to quit, there's always somebody there to encourage me, to keep me going. And then, like you said, you know, Jeremiah said, there was like this fire welling up inside, you know, I have to speak. I have to let this out. And eventually I got those opportunities that I desired. The Lord began giving me opportunities to speak, not just around my diocese, but all over the country. And it's just been a huge blessing for me. And, my heart is really on, you know, families. We have a great bishop in the Diocese of Toledo now by the name of Bishop Daniel Thomas. And he came here, he said, Holy Toledo, you know, we need a holy Diocese of Toledo. And he gave us a model. He said, you know, holy families build holy vocations, and that builds holy disciples. And so it starts in the family. And so, that's kind of my target there. I want to really empower parents to wake up and realize that they are the primary educators of the faith, that there's genius in Catholicism. It's not just about getting to heaven later. It's the best way to live right now. It's the greatest gift we can pass on to our kids, and we have to start passing it on because there's some sobering statistics out there. And so, you know, that's my mission. That's my goal. I want everybody to realize that God calls all of us to sainthood. It's not just for God's favored few. And we accomplish that mission in the middle of our ordinary, everyday work lives and with the relationships that we're in. And so, yeah, that's the heart of the message.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, you referenced the church as like a sleeping giant, right? And like you
sometimes you just want to shake it. And I think that's exactly what the prophets did in the Old Testament, right? They most often they were called to shake up Israel, the people of God, and they had to shake the sleeping giant of Israel to wake them up. And how have you, like, what do you do to shake up the church? How do you wake up the sleeping giant, John?
Well, I have a, you know, kind of an evangelization model I use, a little motto for my ministry. It's basically three words: inspire, desire, fire. And, you know, Matthew, he says, you know, when people, you know, until they're inspired, there's almost nothing they're going to do. But once they become inspired, there's almost nothing they won't do. And so, first and foremost, we have to inspire people. We have to help them encounter a real relationship with God, a real encounter with the real person, and understand that God's not some concept or coping mechanism, that God is our Father, and that, you know, in the eyes of God, we are worth every drop of His blood. And then, you know, that inspiration, I think of it like a breathing into the Holy Spirit. Somehow we have to get them to make that encounter, because then they will desire, you know, losing my father was a big part of my journey. It helped me. I think I had to lose my father on earth before I realized I had a father in heaven. And, you know, understanding that, you know, I wanted to please my father. I wanted to do good. And it's the same thing with God. We should want to be saints, not because we're afraid He's going to send us to hell, but because He's our Father and we love Him. And so we should have that desire to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or "This is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter." And then from that desire, a fire builds up inside. You know, fire spreads. We can't keep it to ourselves. It has to spread. And so that's kind of like the model, and I think, you know, we have to make people feel uncomfortable. When I do get the opportunity to speak to especially young parents, I put up a lot of sobering statistics. You know, Dynamic Catholic did a lot of research. You know, 85% of our confirmation students are leaving their faith within 10 years. It's just not acceptable. And I put those stats in front of them. I tell parents, look, you promised, you know, on your wedding vows, you promised to raise your children up according to the law of Christ and His church. You know, at their baptism, you were given a candle, a light, and that light was entrusted to you to be kept burning brightly. And you know, I talk to brokenhearted parents all over the country, and they say the same sad story: my children, my left, you know, and these are good parents. And the reality is my children might leave too, and that's their choice. But if they don't know their faith, you know, if they don't know the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the, you know, the God of the universe, if they don't know the power of prayer, if they don't know the stories of the saints or the greatest story ever told, you know, if they don't know they need the Mass, not because it's a rule, but because it's like they need it, like they need air to breathe, you know, if they don't know these things, you know, that's on me as a father. That's on me. And so I want to make them feel a little uncomfortable, because when we're comfortable, nothing changes, you know, and something has to change. And so I try to kind of bring them down a little bit, shake them up, make them feel a little uncomfortable, and then I lift them up and let them know, you know what, you can do this. Your parish is here for us. Our church is here for us. They're going to help us every step of the way. We live in a day and age where we have so many great books, CDs, you know, great resources that we can use to learn our faith, so that, you know, we can fall in love with that faith, and then we can pass it on, because you can't give what you don't have. And so, yeah, it's kind of my model of, you know, going after it a little bit and shaking people up.
Hey, man, I love it. I love it. So, John, the subtitle of your book is Winning the War Within. What is the war within that you speak of?
Well, I think, you know, guys, we have nobody has more power and potential to change the world than the Catholic Church. But we can't change the world unless we're willing to change ourselves. And the war within is really just that concupiscence, that tendency we have to do wrong. You know, every day we make hundreds of choices, and we choose either the saint inside of us or some second-rate version of ourselves. And the war within is really just about starting to choose the saint. And I learned this really playing sports, you know, running races in particular. You know, there's a point in every race, you know, distance race, where your body is telling you to quit, slow down, give up. I can't go any further. And you have to make a decision. Are you going to listen to your body and give up, or are you going to push through the pain and do, you know, what the purpose of the race is, really to finish with nothing left to give? And I've discovered that, you know, the physical pain of pushing through is actually not as bad as the, you know, the emotional pain of crossing the finish line, knowing, you know, I could have done better, you know, waking up 20 years later, wondering how good you could have been if you would have tried a little harder. And so that, you know, that middle of the race is really that struggle, that battle within. And it's the same thing in life. The purpose of life is not to finish first, but to finish with nothing left to give. And so Again, we fight that battle in the middle of our ordinary lives at work with the people we encounter. How are you going to react to those people? How are you going to treat other people? And, when you're tempted to do things you know you shouldn't do, what choices are you going to make? And so it's a constant battle. We can't claim to have arrived on this side of heaven, but it's something we have to start fighting because people are sick and tired of people telling them about Jesus. They want somebody to show them Jesus. And we have to, we have to be the light of the world. The best thing we can do for ourselves and everybody is become the saint that we were created to be, because, there's nothing more attractive than holiness, and the world needs saints. And that's the struggle every day.
Well, you just said something that I think is going to challenge a lot of people. You said it's our job to show people Jesus. I just want to share with our listeners, I saw this really cool, it was actually a cartoon. It was people saying, it was this one person talking to Jesus and saying, Jesus, there's all this new age and, crazy witchcraft and all this stuff out there. People just need to know that, they need to know that you're God and that this stuff, they don't need this stuff. And then Jesus says to her in response, people have been told over and over the, everything about me, but no one showed them me. And I think that's the great crisis, is that we're willing to preach, but we're not willing to show. And that's the kind of faith that I think God is raising up, that John, you're talking about, is how do we bring people to an encounter with Jesus? So can you share a story that, maybe of someone's transformation through your ministry?
I hear stories all the time. That's one of the great blessings, as of doing ministry, is, not so much, what you're saying to them, but what you hear in response, and just hearing all these people's stories. And, one that's coming to my mind right now is just a man on the West Coast. His name is Paul. I haven't met him in person. I had an opportunity to meet his daughter at a conference. She was kind of telling me about her dad and how my book had affected him. And when he read it, and back in December, he was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. And he's had a lot of surgeries, had most of his tongue removed, and he can't really speak anymore. He's going through all this radiation, and he's been emailing me over the last several weeks, because he says, he can still email, but he can't speak, and he's kind of relating to Zechariah, and how he, can't really talk, but he can pray. And so, he's affected me so much because he asked for my schedule. I have a really busy schedule right now. I have about, parish missions almost every week now through Easter, and he wants to know exactly when I'm speaking so that he can offer up his prayers and his suffering for me at the moment that I am speaking. And this is a man that I've never even met, and his witness and his testimony just influences me so much. I can literally feel the power of his prayers. And again, just because he read my book and he had this, transformation, and he just desires to help my ministry in any way he can. And so, again, we think we're helping other people, but really, I call it being Simon. Every time you help lift another person's cross, you encounter Jesus. And so, those people really help us more than we help them. But
wow.
I just have so many stories like that. It's just amazing what you do in ministry and the people you meet.
Amen. Yeah, I mean, the life outpoured is actually the best life lived, right? That Gaudí Mespez says the man only discovers himself through a sincere gift of self. And it's almost like the more we give of ourselves, this is what's so crazy. It's a paradox of the Catholic faith, right? That when we lay our lives down, then we find life. When we place ourselves last, then we're placed first. Like that you're talking that whole paradox. When you serve others, you're served. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty. And so why be afraid? Why do we hold back in fear when God has promised us that he has a place for us, and that he's going to build us up, that he's going to encourage us and take care of his people? John, this war within, did you ever have, what was the war within that you had to break, and how did the Lord break it in your life?
I think, the war within for me has always been a struggle of confidence, a struggle of fear, a struggle of I can't do this. You're really the voice of the enemy. You can't win this race. You're not fast enough. You can't pass this test. You're not smart enough. You can't marry that girl. She's out of your league. You can't be a father. You can't be a doctor. You can't be a husband. You can't even take care of yourself. This is constantly the struggle within myself and my own confidence. And certainly, that idea that, you can't evangelize, by saying, well, you can feed the overfed, or you can speak to the choir, but you can't re-engage the disengaged. And that's really the voice of the enemy that's just kind of constantly plaguing me in my head. And he's really just always telling me, you know, just to give up, to crawl back into that comfortable little place called mediocrity, you know, where you can just blend in with the rest of the world, where you can pretend that you can't possibly make a difference, that what you do, you know, doesn't really matter. And so that's my struggle. You know, I get discouraged. I don't like to see empty pews. I struggle with pride. You know, I want people to get to point Z right away, and sometimes God's just calling me to get them to point B, and so I have to fight against that temptation to discouragement, that temptation to despair, and I have to, you know, just remember the fire inside. My mom always, you know, gave me a saying when I was younger. For every big race or big track meet or big test I had to take, she would just say, you know, try your best, let God do the rest.
Wow,
and
I like that. That rhymes.
I used to kind of scoff at that. You know, it's one of those things moms say, But you know, after 20 years later, I can honestly say that is the path to becoming a saint. I mean, that's the path every saint walked, because God could save the world at the snap of his fingers, you know. Yeah. He doesn't need our help. He allows us to help, you know. It doesn't matter what you have to give. It just matters that you give it all, that you lay it on the line, and God does all the rest. It's by God's grace that we become who we were created to be. But we have to play our part. We have to let go of our fear and just, you know, go out on a limb. And like you guys were talking about, you got to be willing to evangelize. You got to be willing to share the gospel, even if you get made fun of, even if you might fall on your face from time to time. You know, again, God doesn't need you, but you need to go out and do that, because, you know, that's part of your journey. That's part of, you know, your journey of becoming a saint. And so, yeah, you know, I think that's, for me, the struggle of confidence and the struggle of, you know, fighting that fight every day.
Yeah, and I think there's probably some people who were convicted while John was speaking that's your war within as well. And so I just want to cast that out. In the name of Jesus, I cast out that spirit of despair, that spirit of lack of confidence. And I pray, as St. Paul said, that we were not given a spirit of cowardice and a spirit of timidity, but one of power, love, and self-control. So Jesus, I pray that you would fill your people with a spirit of power, that you would fill your people with a spirit of love and self-control, and that you would cast out that evil spirit of timidity, that evil spirit of cowardice. Come, Holy Spirit, fill their hearts right now. Fill their minds right now, Lord. I want victory in these people's lives. I know there are some listeners right now who've experienced this fear for so long. I want victory in your life right now. Come, Holy Spirit, bring victory in your life, that you would be bold. I love this. Pope Francis said, the times we live in do not call for a church of couch potatoes, but for a people with shoes, or better, boots laced. It only takes players on the first string, and it has no room for bench warmers.
Get off the couch, Dan.
Man,
I'm standing
nuts?
Up now.
I love that. Pope Francis is like, there are no couch potato Christians, there are no second string Christians, and there are no bench warmers in Christianity. If you're on the team, you're in the field, right? And so people, the pews were not, that's where we go to be coached. But we don't stay in the pews, right? That's not the field.
We didn't even have pews before the Reformation. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we need to be out in the world, and God is calling you. Allow that spirit of cowardice to be passed away. He's equipped you. You are a powerful person. God doesn't want you to be a bench warmer any longer. He's got you on the first string. He's putting you in the game. Man, that's exciting.
That's a good word, Dan.
John, what was the first thing you did when you got in the game? Like, how did you take that first step to get yourself off the bench and in the game?
Well, the first step in everything I do is, you know, especially when I speak, you know, come Holy Spirit, let my words be your words. You know, I got to learn to get out of the way and not rely on myself too much, but to rely on God. And so, you know, first thing I did was, you know, just kind of, you have to trust. And then, as you know, as things go on, you have to be willing to keep getting back up when you fall down, because you are going to fall from time to time. And, you know, you have to keep praying. You have to keep asking other people to pray for you. You have to keep lifting other people up. And just remember the mission and the goal. That's what helps me, is my focus has to be the goal, the mission, which is heaven, which is, you know, becoming saints. And so if we can keep our eyes on the goal, then it helps us overcome that fear. And it's been great. You know, you can literally feel, you talk about getting in the game, You can really feel sometimes when you're in the zone, when, you know, the people's prayers are working and you feel the Holy Spirit come, and it's just like you do have that fire, and it gets to be, and it is fun and it is exciting to engage other people and see that their eyes light up. And so, I think first thing we have to do is, you know, understand that God's got this under control, and we just have to get out there and try our best.
Amen. Amen to that. Yeah, you're listening to Encounter, a show, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. We're going to come right back and hear more from Dr. John Wood, so don't leave. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We are speaking to Dr. John Wood, the best-selling author of Ordinary Lives, Extraordinary Mission. And John, right before the break, you had mentioned that what motivates you in ministry is remembering the goal, right? Keeping the goal in mind.
Yeah.
And the goal is not just heaven for yourself, but to bring as many people you can get to heaven as well. I was listening to a speaker one time, and he said that the reason I'm able to love people so well is that I'm not thinking about myself anymore, right? That when we're concerned about ourselves, we're concerned about us getting rejected. But when our concern is simply the other person's salvation, when their goal is in mind and you're no longer concerned about yourself, you're not worried about if you're popular. You're not worried about if you're accepted. You're not worried about if they receive you. You're only worried about loving them and pouring love onto them. And that's just, that word really inspired me, right? And motivated me to stop thinking about myself when ministering to others. Just love them and love and think about them. And then power comes, freedom comes. It's amazing. John, last night you were with an audience of influential people. You spoke at Legatus, which for our listeners who don't know what Legatus is, it's an organization for basically Catholic CEOs, businessmen and women of large companies. And so, John, you were speaking to these major Catholic leaders. What was the core message you wanted them to hear?
The core message really wasn't any different than from anywhere else, because, I tell a lot of people, if we don't keep the mission in mind, if we don't understand, that heaven is the goal, and like you guys said, that our mission here on earth is not just about us trying to stay out of mortal sin so we can go to heaven. It's about, we got a job to do. We're supposed to be in the game, and we have unique gifts and talents and whatever that is, whether it's our wealth or our talents or our abilities. We got to use those and thirst for souls. You know, as Mother Teresa would say, our desire has to, be to a thirst for souls. What is it going to take, to lay down my life for others, and how can I use the resources I have to help get other people to heaven? Because it's worth living for, it's worth dying for, and our faith is worth dying for, and understanding that's why, if we forget about heaven, then it's hard to do these things, because heaven is worth dying for, and if you don't have something worth dying for, you really don't have anything worth living for, because everything else can be taken away from us in an instant. Our wealth, our talents, our ability, our children, our parents, our best friend, they could be gone at the snap of a finger. There's really only one thing that nobody can ever take away from you, and that's the hope of heaven,
Amen.
And that's something that my parents kind of taught me well. My mom, she raised four boys, five if you count my dad, and, she just lived her faith, and, she always told us, that, you can't change fate, but you can change the direction that it takes you, and it was one thing for her to say it, but she lived it, and she watched my father die of cancer, and they suffered through nights I can't even imagine. But through all that, my mom never lost her faith. She's never lost her joy. She's never stopped serving, even as a widow. And she has something that nobody can ever take away from her. She knows the God of the universe. And I want that. I mean, that was a witness she was for me. There wasn't enough success or power or wealth that is going to satisfy the deepest longing of our heart. It's got to be heaven and the thirst for heaven and the desire to help get as many souls there as possible. And so, yeah, I want to get in the game, and I want to get them in the game and understand the mission and the goal.
You spoke something prophetic there, John. The question started with talking about business leaders and CEOs and how influential they can be. but then your answer went back to how influential your mom was, right? And I want to just say, mothers out there right now, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you're like, this show doesn't, the content of this doesn't apply to me because I don't have a workplace, you are a person of influence in this world, and you mothers are the core of influence in our world today. And mothers, the words you speak, the example you give is everything. You are world changers. You are game changers. You are life changers. You have the ability to transform the culture in a way that CEOs can't, because you have a heart of influence over the home, and that is key. It's absolutely key. It's fundamental to the new evangelization of the Catholic Church and the revival of human civilization and human culture. So you are important, and I just want you to know that. John, you speak all over the country, and the danger is that you would just carry a message and you would just give talks and not actually transform people's lives. And we aren't called just to give talks. We're called to transform people's lives. And I know that you walked alongside two young girls and you transformed their lives. Could you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in my own parish, when I just first started doing this, there's two young ladies. I teach the teens at our parish, and they're in my class. And I just discovered they had a musical gift. They just were talented. They were using they were just doing YouTube videos, things like that. And I challenged them one day, and I said, you know, I'm getting some opportunities to travel and do some speaking. Will you guys come along with me and play some music if I give you some songs to learn? And they're like, oh yeah, sure. Just opportunity to sing. And for, you know, a couple years they did that. And I think, you know, in retrospect, they've shared their story with me that at the beginning, it was just an opportunity to sing for them. It wasn't, you know, something that was in their heart, but it was fun to see the transformation as they began to sing those lyrics proclaiming the love of Christ, you know, that it radically changed their hearts. And all of a sudden, they weren't just saying words or singing words. All of a sudden, they were, you know, telling a love story. They were singing praise to a God that they had fallen in love with. And so, for me, that was all worth it to see that profound transformation in them and how they touched so many lives with their gift and helping people realize that, you know, if you have a gift for music, that's great. Do it for the glory of God. You know, if you want to play sports, great. Do it for the glory of God. You want to start a business. If you do it for God's glory, He takes, you know, your time, your talent, your treasure, He multiplies it tenfold, and you really fall in love with God by teaching others, by sharing that gift with others. And so that's kind of the genius of evangelization, the genius of Catholicism, is that, you know, the best way to learn the faith is to teach it, and it can't be something that's just remote and you just go through motions. Every time it has to be from the heart. It has to be, you know, that Holy Spirit, you know, working through you to build that fire and sharing that fire with others. There's got to be passion and zeal, and that's what the church needs right now more than anything is passion and zeal and authentic witnesses.
Yeah, what I like to say, the way to influence people is to help them learn to do what they do and to do it for Jesus, right? So if everyone's already doing something, so just helping them understand how you can do it for Jesus. And so taking these girls who have a passion for music and helping them learn how to do that for Jesus, and then all of a sudden they fell in love with Jesus. That's beautiful. You know, John, it's funny because you and I are kind of like that God has us on a similar track. Actually, my own mom, she used to tell me that same exact phrase that you said, like, try your best and God will do the rest. So I think we even have the same mom, which is kind of creepy. And you know, we published our books with Dynamic Catholic at the same time. Matthew Kelly gave us the opportunity to get our message out there. And then we do these parish missions. Can you do this parish mission with Dynamic Catholic, and can you share a little bit what that's like if people wanted to bring you into their parish to do a parish mission?
Yeah, absolutely. I do a lot of different types of events. The Dynamic Catholic events, as you know, they're just a lot of fun. They're one day, usually events on Saturdays. They give me an opportunity to go through all five steps to winning the war within, and I bring those musicians along. The music is really powerful. Dynamic Catholic, you know, builds those events, promotes those events. They do an amazing job. They're just great at what they do. And so those are a lot of fun. And then I also do a lot of just regular parish missions where, you know, parish comes in. You know, I may do a one-day mission or over 3 days where you kind of really get to know the parishioners. And, I think another 10 more missions just coming up here now through Easter. And so I get a lot of opportunities, and I'll do all kind of things. I like confirmation retreats as well. I like opportunities to speak to those kids and their parents. And so I am open to, you know, doing all kinds of events and meeting new people and just sharing the message any way I can.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. So if people want to get your book or get a hold of you, how could they do that?
just go to my website, extraordinarymission.com, and you'll have my, you'll see my event schedule, my all my products, my books on there, and Dynamic Catholic is also carries the book, dynamiccatholic.com, and so, yeah, I have a new book I'm working on, too, that's coming out next year through Ignatius Press. It's called The Light Entrusted to You. I kind of have a passion for helping parents pass on the faith, and so that's a new book in the works, and hopefully be out around spring of 2018.
Awesome. And you're still an eye doctor, right?
I am still an eye doctor, and yeah.
So how do you live as a saint as an eye doctor?
What was that?
How do you live as a saint as an eye doctor?
Oh, how do you live as a saint as anything? Everything is just, you know, being who you're created to be. And, you know, I work in nursing homes, and, you know, you don't have to be a doctor to put light in the human eye. I've discovered that my
Woo!
Greatest
Wow, that's a good word.
Yeah, to make you, sometimes I can give sight to the blind, but that's pretty rare. Usually it's mainly just, hey, how was your day? Thanks for coming down and seeing me. You know, have a great day. And these people's eyes light up just from that, you know, because they're Amen. Lonely, you know, in nursing homes. And so whatever your job is, you're going to influence people. And if you try your best at your job and you live it and you practice it with zeal and joy, people are going to want what you've got. And you're evangelizing right there. They're going to look in your eyes and they're going to say, you know, who is this Jesus that makes you so filled with joy and passion? And so that, you know, whatever you do, just do it for the glory of God. You know, I tell people you don't have to leave everything in this world behind to put God first. Just put God first and everything in this world. And,
so good. And I love it. Wow.
Power. All right, we're going to pray. We're going to close in prayer. Patrick, can you lead us?
Yeah, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for inspiring everyone with your Holy Spirit. Lord, you said in the last days your Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh, that your sons and daughters will prophesy, Lord. I thank you for making us prophets, for putting your word in our spirits, Lord, for pouring out your heavy rain over us. Mm. And Lord, I thank you for the witness that you've given in John Wood, Lord. And Father, I pray that what you're doing in him, that you would just do that on our listeners, especially those that are hungry. So anyone that's hungry and calling out, God, use me, choose me, I need you. So Father, I pray that we would have that same hunger and that you would just choose us, use us, and let us be set ablaze mm-hmm. by your Holy Spirit, which will never be extinguished in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, and I just hear right now a word from the Lord, and that word is yes. Yes, he wants to affirm whatever you're asking him right now. Yes. Am I chosen, Lord? Yes, you are. Am I good enough, Lord? Yes, you are. Am I desired, Lord? Yes. Right? And so the Lord wants you. He desires you. And so, Lord, we give all of ourselves to you. We will move. We won't be couch potatoes any longer, Lord. We won't be second string any longer, Lord. We won't be bench warmers any longer, Lord. We respond to this invitation. We get off the bench and we get into the game. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Patrick and Dan, it's been my pleasure. You guys are
yeah.
awesome. Keep up all the great work you're doing.
And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us on Encounter. We pray that you have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today. To learn more about our show or us and our ministries and how you can share your life-changing encounter with our audience, please visit EncounterRadio.org. That's EncounterRadio.org. God bless you.